Every week I start off the ad lib asking you a question.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to turn the tables on you.
Oh.
Ask me something.
Ask you something. What does Griff do for fun?
Podcast.
Outside of work.
Podcast.
Yeah, but outside of work, you must do something. What makes Griff happy?
Dogs.
Me too. How many dogs do you have?
Two.
Oh, nice.
Charlie and Sadie. They're mutts.
Good.
They sleep with me. They eat with me.
Okay. It's getting weird now.
They don't come to work with me, though.
You should.
Yeah.
You should. I'd like to see some dogs around the place.
I'm glad you gave me this opportunity to promote my dogs.
Oh, I see what you did there. Are we going to be talking about promoting again?
Kind of. We're going to talk about promotion tools.
It's that time of year.
Using promotion tools.
Well.
Get your holiday sales up.
Everyone wants to get their holiday sales up.
Yeah, they do.
Yeah.
It's me too. So.
I'm Alan.
I'm Griff, and this is the eBay for Business podcast, your weekly source for the information and inspiration you need to start, run, and grow a business, big or small, on the world's most powerful marketplace. And this is episode 62.
Hey, big or small, that's new.
So you caught that.
Uh-huh.
Good ears, Alan. I thought it appropriate to indicate that our podcast, indeed, the entire eBay for Business team, are all focused on every business on eBay from biggest to smallest.
From entrepreneurs with tens or even hundreds of employees to the mom and pop sole proprietors.
Exactly. And you know why?
Why?
Because to a buyer on eBay, it doesn't matter if you're a super big seller or a super small or somewhere in between, their expectations are the same for all sellers for all purchases.
That's right. Good point.
Yeah.
So, big and small, I like it.
You know, I thought you would.
Thanks. I don't know what you mean, but thanks.
So,
yes,
Alan, yes. What's up for this week?
Well, last week we talked about promotional strategies. So this week we'll talk about the specific types of promotional tools that eBay provides in Seller Hub, what they are, how they work together and separately, and some best practices to adapt and worst practices to avoid.
Oh, I like it.
And to help us out, Brian Burke will join us later, and the three of us will dive into the different promotion manager tools in depth.
I can't wait. Should be an interesting discussion. And we'll hear another seller interview from eBay Open in our sporadically appearing segment better known as Better Know an eBay Seller. I got to get through that content. There's still like 30 hours of seller interviews, and I kind of promised every single one of them they'd be on the show.
We'll be going for a couple of years, yeah.
Yeah, right. Yeah.
No interviews at eBay Open 2020. And good news,
yeah.
We do have more seller questions to answer.
Three, in fact.
Woo-hoo.
Can you say that?
Three.
You said it correctly.
Three.
There, you get said it Irish now. Yeah. But first, what's buzzing in the eBay community? What's the buzz this week, Alan?
We're starting out with a policy change this week, Griff.
Interesting. Tell me more.
Well, there's been a change to our tobacco and e-cigarette policy.
Really?
Have you been vaping again?
It's been 40 years since I've done that.
Well, that's good to hear because due to recent safety concerns with e-liquids as well as e-cigs, eBay has made the decision to not allow e-cig accessories along with e-cigs themselves, e-liquids and their components.
Yikes.
We are currently removing these items from the U.S. site as they are considered prohibited items.
Man, for more information, you can go to our prohibited and restricted items policy page. Now, you'll find the link in the transcript because, once again, it's literally the longest URL I have ever seen in my life. So go to the transcript.
We tend to do that.
By the way,
yep.
You get to the transcript by going to ebay.com/podcast, the podcast episode. And when you click on the title, you'll see there's a link for transcript. Click on that and then scroll down to view links that are in the show. And then you can also click show more to see an entire transcript of the entire show. Every single word.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's great info. For existing listings, we are ending them.
Ah.
Past sales history will be retained. We won't apply any consequences for the removals.
Mm.
But a word of warning, any future violations may result in account action.
Because these items are now considered prohibited, they're just no longer allowed on eBay to be sold or edited.
That's right. Mm. Smoking's bad for your health. I don't know if you heard.
It stunts your growth. Yeah. Obviously, you never smoked.
I did.
Really?
Yeah, yeah.
And yet you're 7 feet tall.
I could have been taller.
There you go.
I could have been 8 feet. You could have been
Gulliver.
Well, another topic that keeps popping up every couple of months
what would that be?
Internet sales tax.
Yes. Mm. Okay. So makes sense because as we know and as we stated, there's new states coming on board with their own internet sales tax laws every month.
That's right. And you may remember recently on a podcast, we talked about a Seller News article we posted.
Yeah.
And that shared details of 11 new states that have been added to the roster requiring collection of sales tax.
Okay. It probably bears repeating. A couple of reminders in case you're hearing it first. This is not an eBay thing. This is actually a state government mandate or a series of state government mandates. In states where eBay is required to collect internet sales tax from buyers now, order totals sent for processing will reflect the gross order amount inclusive of tax. And once settled, the tax amount will be automatically deducted for remittance to the applicable state taxing authority. A record of the sales tax portion of the order will be available on the Seller Hub Orders Detail page and through our download order report. Now, I've checked this.
Okay.
And it's really good. It's better than the PayPal reports.
Phew.
So if you need to report your sales tax to the state, you can see the amounts that have been remitted and report them as already being remitted to your state.
And is that for all sellers, those in managed payments and those not in managed payments?
It doesn't matter if you're in managed payments or still in the old payment system, we're still taking out the sales tax and then remitting the tax.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's not dependent on
managed
payments.
There should be a record on eBay regardless. Yeah. Okay. Well, thanks for that info. All sounds very official.
It is. And I read it from the announcement board, so it must be official.
Oh, look at you.
Yeah.
Well, as expected, there was some conversation in the community around internet sales tax. Some buyers told us they were unaware of the laws around internet sales tax and they were confused and sought clarification. And then on the seller side, eBay and PayPal recently both sent emails to sellers explaining the new tax collection and remittance process. However, the emails did not make it clear that PayPal will be charging their processing fee on the gross total, including sales tax. So we saw some sellers expressing concern that this change is occurring during the holiday shopping season instead of a slower time of year. And many are unsure if or how this will change the way they do their end of year reporting for taxes.
If this was up to us, we would have held off.
Right.
We can't. Our hands are tied.
Yeah.
The laws come live to the world. We have to be in compliance. But remember, a record of the sales tax portion of the order will always be available to sellers in Seller Hub under the Orders Detail page. And when you're there, all you have to do is select a time period and then click Download Order Report. If you haven't done this yet, by the way, you really should. Even if it's just, pick a window of time, download a report, and see what the information you get. I think you'll be pleasantly surprised. It's really exhaustive. Now, we'll include a link in the episode transcript. It's not that long, though. It's easy for us to say. It's not the longest one in the world. It's https://www.ebay.com/sh/ord.
Also, keep checking community announcements where you can subscribe to receive the latest updates. And you can always get more info in Seller Center. It's a long URL. I don't want to say it, so it'll be in the transcript.
Okay. I'm not going to repeat it. Okay. What's next, Alan?
Some sellers feel that we're not always clear in our emails. Can I say that?
Well, if it's true, you can say it.
Hey, I'm just reporting the news.
Okay.
Recent guidance emails sent by eBay drove some conversation in the community.
Okay, which guidance? What conversation? I get the emails too, and I'm still a seller, and I'm not sure I know what you're talking about.
All right. A shift to a one-day handling time as the default option in the listing form raised concern among sellers who misinterpreted this as a change to their active listings.
Oh, I get it. Yeah.
So, community members clarified this only applies to the default option in new listings. And then the community team jumped in and confirmed that active listings wouldn't be impacted. Sellers also discussed an email we sent that asked sellers for listing revisions when listings contained security or policy violations. And we notified sellers regarding the automatic inclusion of best offer for some listings.
Oh, yeah, I've seen that. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, a couple of things here. Believe it or not, we do make recommendations based on data and successful business practices. We want you to think of selling on eBay as a business. That's really important, and I've said this over and over. You have to think about inventory and sourcing, shipping, customer service, and so much more. Some changes we make for the best of the platform, and other times we may make recommendations as opposed to mandates.
Griff.
Yeah.
A PayPal outage on September 30th resulted in various error messages when buyers tried to pay for items.
I remember this.
And as a result, payments for some transactions were completed on PayPal's end, but weren't registered or displayed on the eBay side. And then some sellers thought that the PayPal confirmation email was a spoof.
I remember that. And the system status board on eBay reflected the issue, although not in great detail at the time, because we didn't really know the details. I think it lasted maybe about 5 or 6 hours.
That's right. Yeah, that's right. I remember you were one of the first people, the first person to report, actually.
Yeah, yeah. I thought, well, what's
Look
going on
you
here?
On yeah. the ball. Mm. So the good news is the system status board was working, reflected the issue. So sellers shared around the link and they monitored the board for updates.
We should let our listeners know where they can go to see the system status board.
Go on then.
It's a nice little tool. You can find it at ebay.com/STS. It's a nice and short little URL. If only all of them were that short. I lose my breath trying to say something.
We need some better URL people. Yeah, is that a job?
We can hire them.
Hire someone to clean up our URLs.
I'm sure we'll have volunteers. Well, what's in the news, Alan?
Griff, do you believe in the Force? You do look like a wizened old Jedi.
Oh, geez. This must have something to do with Star Wars on eBay, right?
Yeah, that's right. Mm. Community members noticed there was a Star Wars homepage takeover last week.
So they were discussing it, were they?
Yes. We celebrated over 40 years of Star Wars by releasing a collection of 100 rare and retro collectibles and merchandise available at ebay.com/StarWars. What do you think of that, Griff?
Like I need more stuff. What's some of the featured stuff, Alan?
Well, featured items range from comics signed by Harrison Ford and Carrie Fisher to an original movie banner from the 1977 premiere and a Funko Pop signed by Adam Driver and more.
Funko Pop. Those are really popular.
Mm. Is that the little things with big heads?
No, that would be me.
No. Are you taking notes? What are you doing there?
I'm not. Mm. Okay. Continue.
Okay. My notes say the rarest, most expensive Star Wars item sold on eBay was a 1979 Star Wars vintage prototype Boba Fett figure that sold for $145,000.
You're joking.
I'm not.
That's the price of a house in some parts of the United States.
Imagine the final value fee on that thing.
Jeez. And it's one of those little things, right? The little action figures?
Yeah.
What else did it do besides just sit there?
Apparently it shot a rocket. So I guess that was... That was a big deal in 1979.
Did it have a string and you pulled it and it talked?
Yeah. You couldn't even go on the internet. You couldn't tweet or Snapchat. You couldn't do anything. Again, if you're interested in some Star Wars nostalgia or super rare collectibles, go to ebay.com/StarWars to check out the collection.
Yeah, now check it out.
Check it out, you must.
Right, you must. Anything else, Alan?
Griff.
Yeah.
I am your father.
These are not the podcast you're looking for.
Oh, I suppose we should jump on light speed over to the next segment.
I think we should. Excellent. Now it's time for Better Know an eBay Seller. Control yourself, Alan. It's time for Better Know an eBay Seller, our sporadically episodic interviews with sellers at last July's eBay Open in Las Vegas. This week, we'll meet eBay seller of electronics, Jeff Flickinger, who learned something about free returns from a previous eBay Open. Let's listen in. Yesterday, I was having breakfast here at eBay Open, and I went over and sat at a table, and I met someone who now is on the... We shared breakfast, now we're sharing a podcast segment. Welcome, Jeff Flickinger.
Thank you.
Jeff, we didn't talk in great depth about your business, but you had some business people with you as well from your business.
That's correct.
What do you sell?
Predominantly electronics.
Electronics.
Yeah, okay. Mostly laptops, components of laptops, but a lot of time it's an array of a little bit of everything.
And how long have you been doing this on eBay?
About 5 years. We had a retail store for 30 years before that.
And were all those people a part of the retail store as well? There was a whole table.
Yeah, I'm trying to think. So my head technician and my wife, kind of on the outside, but the Ginger who you'd talk to, she's my new employee.
Oh, Ginger,
and
right.
And she's leading the charge, so...
Good for her, yeah. On eBay.
Yeah.
And how's that working out?
She's doing great.
Yeah, because it's a really competitive category.
Yes, very.
Specifically, what type of electronics?
I mean, laptops for sure, which is one of the biggest ones. But we will do everything, even all the way down to the small commercial items, cables, headsets, video cards, motherboards, all the components. Not so much custom builds or gaming towers themselves, but we have been asked by some people to do something, and we have.
And can you give us your user ID?
The eBay name?
Yes.
Caesar_recycling.
And is that the business name as well?
Yes.
Caesar_recycling.
Recycling.
Recycling, okay.
Yeah, we do that on the side as well.
Oh, you do?
So we try to repurpose everything, but there are a lot of units that, if it's beyond, we will go ahead and we go specifically to a certain group of recyclers and go ahead and turn it over that way.
Oh, so nothing gets put in a landfill?
No. Here. No, the trash guy, I told him we have nothing. maybe some paper, but very little.
Yeah, to go away trash.
Exactly.
Right. Is this your first eBay open?
This is my second, actually. I did one last year.
Oh, you did? Mm-hmm. And did you learn something last year that was able to help your business?
Oh, yes, definitely. I think one of the biggest things, and I was negative in the beginning about the whole free returns in 30 days. Of course, everybody thought, oh, we're going to get every return in the world. Well, realistically, we have 99.9% positive feedback.
Yeah.
We're going to take care of our buyers. Yeah. I did it when I had the store and so on. They are my friends. If somebody were to not be happy with something, even if I was saying no returns, I'm going to take care of them.
Yes, of course.
So why not just offer all that?
Yeah.
And I'm covered by eBay because I've offered all that. So yeah. It was a win-win.
And it helps your business.
Oh, definitely.
We know that if you offer free returns, we've seen people's sales go up.
Oh, yeah.
And their return rates sometimes go down.
It did. Actually, both things. My sales jumped about 20% when I started doing it. And my returns, I mean, we don't have a bunch of them anyway. But, I mean, they haven't gone up at all.
That's great. So it's worked out.
Oh, yeah.
What about this time? Have you learned something that you're eager to apply to your business?
So two or three things. A little bit more technical. The management payment thing, I think, is fantastic.
Yeah.
Especially with the, not to talk negative, but, I mean, people know you can go back 90 days in PayPal.
Yeah.
Even if you're doing something wrong, you get your money back. Yeah. Now that eBay is the front runner, they're backing me, so I'm covered. Yeah. That's fantastic. I like some of the TerraSpeak things and a couple of the relisters. And I found out, you know, some of the new stuff with the seller protection that they're going to be putting out. So always new stuff is great.
And you're looking forward to it.
Definitely.
Are you energized to get home and back into business? Oh, you're hesitating.
No, it's not that.
Oh.
So in a second job, I do cybersecurity.
Oh, and?
And so I'm going to be back for 4 days, and I'll be in Florida for like 3 days, then back again, then go again, and it's just run.
Yeah, I'm sorry to hear that, but you're young, and you're energetic, and you're in good shape. You'll be fine.
I sell on energy and power. You
good
know?
For you. You have built in electronics.
Exactly.
Thanks, Jeff. It's been a pleasure talking to you.
It's been a pleasure talking to you,
and
too.
I hope to see you next year.
Definitely.
Okay.
Thanks again to Jeff. We'll meet more eBay sellers who spoke to us at eBay Open in 2019 in future episodes. Up next, we'll explore the 5 promotion manager tools and how they can help boost sales during the holidays as well as year-round. It's time for Inside eBay, and this week, got something new here going. We usually have a guest on, but we're not going to have guests. We're just as 3 guys talking about promotions, specifically the promotion tools that are available to eBay sellers in the Promotions Manager section of Seller Hub. And joining me in this conversation is Alan Aisbit.
Oh, hey.
And Brian Burke, who you know well.
Hello, Griff.
First off, we want to make a case of why these tools under the Promotion Manager link on Seller Hub are so important to every eBay seller. We'll talk about each of the tools in a minute, but I wanted to talk first about, I think it might be smarter to just talk about the strategy. I know we talked last week with Richard Cooley about his particular strategy, but the idea why it's important to have a strategy, it's important to think promotions all the time, and some of the things to keep in mind that when you're thinking about creating a promotional strategy for your business on eBay.
And when you talk about strategies, and if I think about Richard's conversation last week, not all strategies will apply the same to every business.
Well, if they did, it would be a piece of cake, wouldn't it?
It
and
would.
It's not.
It is not.
So it depends on what you sell, what your goals are, what your expectations, why you're in business, how big your business is, how small it is. These things are all important. And there's a promotion strategy we all see sellers utilize, which is the worst promotional strategy in the world.
It may not actually be a strategy.
Well, but they're practicing it. So I'm saying it's an unintentional strategy, and that's set it and forget it.
I've heard that on television sometimes.
Set it and forget it for a great appliance,
yeah,
right?
Exactly.
So it might work for the appliance.
Yeah, but it's not a great strategy, I agree, for someone who's listing on eBay.
Can you imagine if eBay ran its business that way? Like it's still 1996.
Where's the check in the mail?
Fees up front.
Right.
Big fees up front, yeah.
And those are business practices, not necessarily promotional strategies. But if you're selling items on eBay, selling them, setting the price, and then waiting for them to sell for the next 3, 4, 6 months, 12 months is a unintentional promotional strategy by never thinking about how am I going to promote them. you have to think about, what am I going to do with these listings over time?
And it's interesting, when you started that set in and forget it, at first I thought you were going to talk about kind of the opposite of that, which is, hey, I'm going to pull a marketing lever and I'm going to apply it 100% to all of my listing and then just, again, set it and forget it.
Well, we are going to do it.
Yeah, so both of those are actually set it and forget it, and neither one's probably going to optimize selling on the platform.
Well, set it, but don't forget it. Yes. Set it, but keep on top of it. Anything you adopt for a promotional strategy, regardless of what tools you use, and we're going to talk about the tools in a moment, is going to take constant diligence. Yeah. I'm finding that right now with my jumping back into selling. I'm making good sales. I'm really happy. I only have about 250 items up at any given time. It's hard to list more than that. Last week, I sold 20 items, 20 plus items. And that's great.
It's a good sell-through.
Yeah, I mean, if I had thousands of items, so you pick that up. Now I'm starting to, that's a viable business. But in order to make those sales, I've had to constantly promote them. And the one I rely on most is just lowering the price. That is a promotional strategy. I'm not setting it and forgetting it. I'm checking to make sure that when I'm searching for my items showing up as the best value.
And how do you determine when you're going to lower that price?
I set a schedule. So I look at least every week. No item in my inventory lasts longer than a week without being revisited. And when eBay added the feature in Seller Hub on the active listings page where you can go in and edit the price in line.
Yep.
Oh, boy. Did that
made it a lot easier.
Oh, made it so much
quick.
Easier.
It's so quick.
It's interesting that you said you do. Sorry, Alan, that you said weekly, because one of the things I always guide sellers on is, hey, you know, monthly do it. And that's, you know, when I'm out talking to sellers, I say at least on a monthly basis, you know, you can use the sort feature and it makes it very easy to take a look at what hasn't sold and how long it's been up there. And then you look at that inventory and decide, okay, is it something I need to invest in?
Yeah, well, monthly, it's as long as the cadence you choose is regular and it works for you, you're getting sales. For me, I'm antsy. I want this stuff gone.
Do you always aim to have the lowest price of everyone on eBay? Or
depends on the category.
Like, as a buyer, for me, I've mentioned this before on the show, but if there's two sellers, similar price, one might be slightly more expensive. But if seller A has returns, free returns, seller B doesn't have returns, but maybe they're a couple of dollars cheaper, I might spend more with seller A because I've got that kind of good customer service I can follow up with. So I wonder how you factor that into...
In the apparel category, it works like a charm. A lot of sellers in the fashion categories may not take free returns. A lot of sellers don't offer really fast handling and shipping.
Right.
They're not unique items, but they kind of are. Sometimes it's pre-owned clothing. It might be the only shirt of its type. Then I can keep the prices in some cases a little higher and still make the sales. But in a category like media, especially CDs, and that's a category that Brian and I over the years have seen many a seller fail in because it is so tight.
Uh-huh. Yeah, really low margins.
Speed is not a big factor. So you add the speed of delivery by offering an option besides media mail. So I offer free media mail.
Yeah.
And if you want it faster, I'll ship it first class for a price. No one goes for that, options.
Not on a CD.
Right. So what you have to look for is presentation and condition. The people who are buying CDs now are collectors because you can get the music online. Mm-hmm. But people still collect CDs, tape cassettes, vinyl. With a CD, if I can be really close to the cheapest online and then make sure that my listing looks really good, the photos are actual photos of the item and not a stock photo.
Yep.
And people are using stock photos for used.
No.
So if it's not brand new sealed, I'll never use a stock. And I still use my own photo. I can be priced a little higher. But even then, such a cutthroat category. I don't see how anyone makes a living in it. Yeah. You have to be getting the stuff for free. Because a lot of CDs sell for about $2 to $3.
Yeah.
Media mail, it's $250, $270 something right now to ship. There's no profit. My goal is different than a seller who's making a business in here. My goal is to get rid of these CDs because I've got hundreds of them. And maybe I should just package them all up and take them to and wholesale them to a CD seller somewhere in San Jose. But I like listing them. Mm-hmm. But I'm not going to make money on these. On some of them, I do. Some of them are a little rarer. I can charge. I figure it out. I do the research. I can charge a lot of money over what I paid. Mm-hmm. If they're like the gold limited edition Elton John CDs, I made great money on those. But it's all a wash because I'm selling other CDs for
a loss.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Right. So let's talk about promotional tools. And there's five different promotional options when you're in the Promotions Manager link on Seller Hub. And those are order discount, shipping discount, volume pricing, codeless coupon, and the Markdown Manager sales event. I think our goal today is to get a better understanding and knowledge of what each one of these does, because not every promotion should rely on just one of these tools. There are times when they can work together. There's times when certain inventory will work better being promoted with a shipping discount as opposed to a codeless coupon, and et cetera, et cetera.
And it appears you've intentionally left a promotional tool off.
Yeah. Which one?
That would be promoted listings.
Yeah, because we've talked a lot about promoted listings, and we only have maybe another 10 minutes, so...
Right. The assumption here is our listeners have been listening over the last couple of weeks and have heard a lot about promoted listings and understand those. So we're not going to spend time today on that.
Mm-hmm. So let's talk about these. So order discount. Brian, what does an order discount do? What is an order discount?
So what's an order discount? So it's an order discount offer means you can get more sales and larger average order sizes. For order discounts, a seller selects which inventory is shown on a seller-created offer page. The seller also selects the discount amount in dollars or percentage. A good example of an offer discount is buy one, get one free, also known as BOGO.
Or buy one, get one at 50%
off.
Some percentage off. Order discounts are across a wide range of inventory that you select. It could be by category. It could be by specific items you select. Mm-hmm. Somehow they should be related. So
right. Clothing sometimes works. So you see sometimes, like if you have t-shirts and you want to unload those summer t-shirts because it's the end of summer, you do a buy one, get one free, or you do buy one and get 50% off, something like that.
Yeah, or phone.
But they're associated.
You see like phone accessories, a phone cover, and then a lightning cable or whatever cable for your phone. Also that works well,
right.
Especially with new iPhones are coming out now. So it's an opportunity if you're selling covers to also bundle other items and give buyers a discount.
And during the holidays, it's a great strategy because people might want to put a bundle together as a gift.
In fact, most seasons, all of these promotional levers are good to be thinking about and using or thinking about how you can use it, whether it's holidays or summer or closeouts. Right. All of them can be levers for you as a seller.
For us now, we're coming into the busiest retail season of the year. So we're saying promotional strategies for the holidays. But I want to make it clear, these strategies can take you through the entire year.
Right? That's right.
And the next discount, it only applies to people who are charging for shipping.
Oh.
And this is one of the oldest discounting features, not the tool itself, but the idea of offering combined shipping discounts or buy enough of these, I'll give you a discount. And the way it worked in the old days is with auctions. If you win a bunch of my auctions, don't pay me yet. Wait until you've won a bunch. Then I'll send you an invoice and I'll give you a discount in the shipping because I'll box them all together. But
buyer has to wait for their items.
And it's...
It's
not very efficient.
No.
Yeah, a small part of eBay now. Yeah. Auctions still going, but a smaller part of the business than it was.
What is it, 20%?
No, 80% new, 90% fixed price, 10%.
10%, right.
Yep.
Yeah, especially with modern buyers as well. They're under phone. They're used to getting instant gratification. They're used to getting items in a couple of days. Yeah. So to create friction by saying, purchase it, but wait, send me a message. Wait, I'll get back to you. Then pay.
It's a lot of extra work for the seller, too.
It's a lot of extra work for the seller. So if you're
and
large quantities, that will be a headache.
The seller doesn't have to do it, especially in fixed price. You know, now they can actually turn this on. And this actually works well. You know, we talk a lot about free shipping and the importance of free shipping and how it drives buyer behavior. But there are some items where actually it would be not in the seller's benefit to add in the shipping cost at a per item level. And that's oftentimes when someone's going to buy multiples of the same thing.
Exactly.
And so what you do, if you put in free shipping on all of those, you've factored in the cost. So then if someone, instead of buying one, buys 10, that shipping is in there times 10.
Yeah.
What you really want to do is actually say, here's the cost of the item, and it costs X amount to ship. And that way, then you say, oh, and if you buy 10, it's only X amount to ship because you're getting a discount. Right. And it basically creates an incentive for the buyer to buy multiples to get that lower shipping rate.
It saves the seller shipping costs. And these can also be passed on with these shipping discounts to the buyer. Oftentimes, when a seller makes a multiple sale and they combine, they're going to save money too.
Yes.
But you can pass on a percentage or all of that savings to your buyer as an incentive to get them to look and consider your items for purchase during the holiday season, as opposed to a competitor who's not doing that.
Yes. Yeah.
The next one is interesting because what we talked about, order discounts and shipping discounts, those go across the seller's inventory. The next one is listing specific, and it's called volume pricing. Want to explain what volume pricing is, Alan?
Yeah, the order and shipping discount tools provide incentive discounts for a buyer to purchase more of their other selected inventory. So volume pricing does the same, with the distinction that it offers buyers a discount for multiple purchases within a single listing, as opposed to across multiple listings in different categories. So you'll see, like, that phone cover example or a t-shirt. Instead of buying one for $5, you might buy two for $9 and so on. And there's a nice design on the listing as well, and it just makes it more attractive to a buyer. And so, and then they'll think about it. They'll say, well, actually, you know, maybe I do need more than one of these items, and they can do it all directly on the listing page.
And it's really cool the way that we do it on the page, because there's like three boxes. Buy this many and you get for this amount each. And then the seller selects what the amount, discount is for each one. But it's so clear to the buyer, and it just kind of pushes you to think, well, I only wanted to buy one battery, but if I buy three, I get this. If I buy six, and I'm going to need them because they run out, I'll buy the six right now.
I don't have to ask the seller a question, you know, because in the old days, people would have to message a seller and say, hey, I'm considering buying three. Will you give me a discount? So this eliminates all of that, and it just makes it much more easier.
Liz brought up a point during the live stream today on Facebook when we were talking about this, that during the holiday season, someone who's buying for gifts may think, I can give this to more than one person. This is a lovely scarf.
Or I can self-gift.
Or I can get myself one of them and... I can get myself two of these.
Yes.
And if it's a listing with variations, they all count. You know where I would have used this? One of my favorite purchases that I gave for gifts, and this was a long time ago on eBay. Remember Pets.com?
Yes.
Remember the sock puppet?
Yes.
So before they went out of business, those sock puppets were around, and then they went out of business and they got rare. Okay. And there was a seller on eBay who was selling them individually, and I had to work out a deal with them in email. Sell me some on eBay, make a package, and I'll do a I bought 10 of them. And I gave them away as gifts. No gift I've ever given away has ever gotten more comments. Because some of the people saved them, and now they're, I assume they're collectible. Maybe they've gone up in value.
Did you keep one?
I did, and it's in a box somewhere in my...
Soon to be listed.
Yeah, exactly.
Eventually, within the next 5 years.
So if you've got multiple items during the holiday season, you can make more sales to a single buyer by offering volume pricing.
All of these tools that we've talked about so far are things that you would naturally see if you walked into a brick and mortar store.
Oh, yeah.
And what we've basically done as a company is just brought them online and given them to our sellers to use.
Yeah.
This is where earlier you mentioned about, hey, don't set it and forget it. This is why you have to constantly be looking at your inventory, the competition, and then look at the tools that we've provided you as a seller and then determine how do you optimize.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. When Richard Cooley was in here talking about what he sells pre-owned rare shoes and designer handbags, mostly pre-owned, a few new. And I asked him, during the holidays, does your business take off? He said, yeah. So there is a market for used items, depending on the category. So if you're selling unique items right now, don't think that the holidays aren't going to help your sales. And you can utilize these promotions to help get your items out there in front of buyers. The next one is interesting because this is another common, as Brian said, retail trick, which is to give loyal buyers or buyers you're trying to attract a specific code to use that'll give them a discount. We see this on every website now that's retail. You know, you're a first-time buyer. Give us your email address. We'll give you 10% off your first purchase. It's called the codeless coupon.
Brian. And it's interesting. I remember when I was doing account management a while back, this was something that every single one of our large sellers was asking for.
Oh,
Would you please give us this functionality? And so when we finally did introduce it, I was so excited. I wished I was still in account management at the time so I could tell all of those sellers. I wouldn't have taken the credit. It's our engineers who do the work, but it would have been nice to deliver the message.
So Brian, read the blurb. Tell us how it works.
So codeless coupon, it's an ideal way to reward new and existing customers with a discount code for future purchases from a seller. The seller can select which merchandise is included in the discount code and the percentage or specific dollar amount discount applied by a single discount code.
Yeah. And it works really easy.
Yeah. And I like it as a buyer when you receive that, hey, thanks for purchasing from me. Here's a discount for the future. I just like it shows the seller is confident in their products. They want you as a return buyer. So why wouldn't I go back there? You've already got them to open their wallet and purchase from you, which is the hardest part. So if you can then incentivize them to come back to you again, I think that's just win-win for everyone.
Absolutely. Yeah. And I think it's important to point out why we call this a codeless coupon. It's not a code that you type in, and it's not a coupon, a physical coupon. It's actually a URL that's based on the promotion that you've created. You can hand that URL out to anyone, and if they use it to get to your store, that URL will show them all of the inventory that you've selected for this promotion. You can select it all, which is what I do. And then they get that discount, and it lasts for as long as you keep that code valid. I give it to people who have had to return an item. So if you've returned an item to me, I normally will create the code and say, hey, here's 15, 20% off on your next purchase. Because I figure they might have viewed this as a bad experience. I need to win them back. But you can give it to anyone anywhere. You can put it on social media. You can use it however you see fit.
And I like your approach of applying it to all inventory, because you're not restricting that buyer's view into your inventory.
Right.
Like by just only applying it to things that you want to close out. Use some of the other levers that we have to do those.
Well, you kinds can create too.
Yeah.
You can create multiple codeless coupons. One you want to give and it's just your liquidated merchandise. One you want to give to a certain group of customers that's everything. And maybe it's one that's by category based on what you sell. And the last one on our list, this is number five, is Markdown Manager. And this is one that actually needs no introduction to most sellers because they're familiar with it. It's the oldest promotion that we've had.
Since
when did it come into play?
Early 2000s?
I think so.
Yeah.
That's what I've heard.
Early to mid 2000s, so in that range.
We need to consult the history books.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, there isn't one that's easy to
I'm sure there's a PowerPoint presentation on my laptop somewhere where it's got the date on it.
Alan, you want to explain how it works?
Markdown Manager was the first promotional tool on eBay. Markdown Manager allows a seller to select individual listings and apply them to a markdown by either dollar amount or percentage. The item price for those selected listings shows up as a strike through with a new discounted price. And then once a Markdown Manager promotion is launched, eBay creates a special custom tailored sales event page to which a seller can direct eBay buyers who express interest in that seller's inventory.
It's a kind of a codeless coupon with an extra benefit, which is that strike through. And we know from retail research, buyers just, they get so turned off.
It's like free shipping. It's that visual thing that drives them to go, I'm getting a deal.
Yeah. Act quickly. Get that deal.
So that's how all the tools work. That's what they are. We want to encourage sellers to consider adopting one or more of these. There's one thing I wanted to say before we actually ended the segment, and that's the idea of how these work together. Mm-hmm. So you can use multiple promotions on a single listing or a group of inventory, but there's an order in how they're used. And this is the order of visibility to the buyer. Codeless coupons, where a buyer has visited the active coupon offer page, that's the first promotion they're going to see. The second one is volume pricing. The third one is order discounts. The fourth one is a sale event or markdown. And the last one is shipping discounts. Now, let me explain. Mm-hmm. So, for example, with volume pricing, codeless coupons, and order discounts, regardless of which one is shown to the buyer, only the single best discount will be applied based on what is in the buyer's cart. So it's the discount that's the highest amount. It's not necessarily all combined. The only time they're combined is if you're running a markdown sale and volume pricing together. The volume pricing will be applied on top of your discounted price for the markdown. And if you're using the shipping discounts, the volume pricing may also be applied to those. So you're giving a shipping discount and you're giving volume pricing. That's two discounts that the buyer's going to get. So you have to keep that in mind when you're using them together.
One thing that we've done well over the last couple of years is consolidate all of these tools into one location.
In the Seller Hub, yeah.
And you don't have to go to multiple locations now to find the different tools.
If only that was true for everything on our site.
Yeah.
Maybe someday, right? Well, Brian, Alan, I want to thank you for taking time and discussing this with us. We've created some shortened links because our URLs tend to be pretty long. And for each one of the pages that explain them in great detail, order discounts, shipping discounts, volume pricing, codeless coupons, and the Markdown Manager and sales event, go to the transcript for this broadcast. Again, this week, you've got questions. And guess what we have? Answers? Yeah, I think so.
All right.
We got three questions this week, Alan.
Mm-hmm.
We got one to podcast@ebay.com.
Okay.
One that was called into our hotline at 888-723-4630. And one that dug out of the podcast page itself.
Wow.
So let's start with the email that came to podcast@ebay.com.
Okay. So this one comes in from George Kufta. Now that eBay has removed the link to go back to the classic bulk label printing, can you suggest a solution for accomplishing the following without a whole lot of extra work?
Mm-hmm.
Number one, changing the ship from zip code. I currently use about 5 different post offices to drop off packages. The classic flow allowed changing just the zip code. The new flow requires that I create a full address for each post office. My concern is if a buyer returns a package to one of those addresses, the post office won't know how to forward the package to me. some of those. PO, I only use a few times a year.
Okay, so the first one, I understand his concern, but I think he's overthinking it. So your ship from zip codes, you should use the one that is the one you're commonly using. If you're shipping from your house or from a local post office, use that one. Now, I don't know his situation. If he's in an urban area, like we are here in San Jose, you can have your ship from zip code be, say, I have minus my house. But right. Sometimes I ship from eBay zip code, mm-hmm. but they're all very close together. It makes no difference. If your ship to zip code in our case was 95116, but I brought it into work and shipped it from here, and yeah. it's 95125, that makes no difference. It's going to be the same cost, right? And it's going to still be sent out. What counts for the return is the return address that you have on file. And that doesn't gotcha. Even have to be in the same zip code.
Gotcha.
The post office doesn't use the ship from zip codes to determine how to get your package back to you. Mm-hmm. The label that prints out by the buyer issuing a return is the return address that you've specified. So it's always going to get back to you. So I think you don't need to worry about this.
Okay.
Now, if it was an issue, so say, for example, you did want it returned to a post office PO box, for example, and you had more than one of them, then yes, George, you would have to enter each one of those as a return address that you could then select for each listing, depending on where you want it to go. I doubt very much that's your situation. I suspect it isn't. I think you're just overthinking this. You don't have to worry about the ship from zip code.
That's good to know. Thank you. Very clear.
Okay.
Question number two, print a scan form. I can still print labels individually and change new label to back to classic and end up on a web page that allows changing the ship from zip code, but then I can't print a scan form.
Right. So if you print a label individually, there's no scan form.
Because it's only one. Yeah. So why would you need a form?
You wouldn't need a form. A form right. is for multiple labels
yeah.
printed at one time. Mm-hmm. In eBay, say you have five sales, you print five labels. You don't print the scan form. 3 hours later, you print two more labels. 2 hours later, you print 10 labels. Mm-hmm. At some point before the end of the day, you can print a scan form for all those batches as long as they were for multiple labels mm-hmm. and they're within that day period. But if you print a single label, you can't print a scan form and you can't put that label in a future scan form either. I think, George, you may be confused about what scan forms are for. And number three.
George's last question. Save a receipt of the shipping labels to a PDF file? Question mark. Mm-hmm. The new bulk shipping label flow does not indicate the tracking numbers on the receipt. Is eBay trying to discourage sellers from using eBay labels?
No, and I'm not sure what you mean by a receipt. It's not like a post office receipt. What there is that you can print out, which is just as valid, when you're in the flow and you get to the point where you print out the labels in a bulk form, there'll be a page just beforehand that remains visible on the web browser, which will show you all the labels you just printed, the address of the sender, his name or her name, and also tracking numbers.
Perfect.
And the amount you paid.
Perfect.
Those just as good a receipt. And there's a link right there that says print this page. Now, a lot of us sellers who print labels in bulk, myself included, we use this not as necessarily a record of shipping costs. I have that in another place.
Right.
But I use this for making sure that I'm putting the right label on the right package. Because if I have five things to ship and I've just printed out five bulk labels, mm-hmm. I leave the packages open and with the invoice inside so I can see it. And then I print the labels and I match the label to the right package by
Smart.
The names on that list.
Look at that.
I know it's a rhetorical question, George. We're not trying to discourage sellers from using eBay labels or the bulk label flow. And in fact, every improvement to that in the new version was suggested by sellers. We got feedback from sellers. I would encourage you not to think of this as something new and awful. It's actually a much better experience overall. And I say this not as an employee.
Okay.
I say this as a seller who ships out 5 to 10 items a day.
Good. Thank you, Griff. Question number two.
Let's listen to the second question because this was one that was called in.
Does there exist a top-rated seller program where the seller receives the 10% final value fee for being top-rated plus, but does not get the seal, like the badge on his site, on his listings? Is there two different programs, or is there simply one program where you get the badge and you get the 10% discount on your final value fees if you're top-rated plus? My user ID is Premium Audio Tubes. Thank you.
The seller, Alan, may be a little confused about how the top-rated seller program
works. Sounds like it, yeah.
Because there's only one program.
That's right.
But maybe 3 or 4 years ago, it actually was changed. Mm-hmm. So in the original program, It was top rated seller. You got a top rated seller badge, and all applicable listings received a discount. Recently, the program changed so that the discount is only applied to listings that meet certain requirements.
Which are listings that offer one or same day handling and 30-day free returns.
But we changed the way the badge appears. Mm-hmm. So there's no longer an indication anywhere on seller listings of top rated or top rated plus, because in order for you to get the discount, the items have to be called top rated plus, and okay, those are the items that qualify for the discount. And that's only after you reach top rated seller, which is based on the following. You're a member in good standing. You've sold at least $1,000 worth of sales in the last 12 months, trailing 12 months. And in that time period, you've sold at least 100 items. If you meet those requirements, you become top rated.
Okay.
But then you don't get a discount except for the items that qualify.
And the requirements are one or same day handling and 30 or 60 day free returns.
Those items, you get a 10% discount on the final value fee. So it's one program, a little bit more complex.
Yeah, so you'd see some sellers talk about some listings they can't offer 30-day free returns.
Right.
So they don't get a discount on those listings.
Right, but they're still top rated. Ones,
they're still top rated at an account level.
Yeah.
But they just don't get a top rated plus discount on those listings.
They may get them on other listings where they can make them qualify. Right.
Okay,
great. Now it's time for our third question.
Last question. My question comes from a transaction I recently dealt with. An item was sold and shipped via the global shipping program. The buyer wanted to return the item, but as a seller, I had no access to purchase a return shipping label. So after several calls to eBay, I was told a global shipping program member would contact me within 3 days, which of course never happened. After 2 weeks and 5 phone calls to eBay, they decided to refund the buyer without getting my item back. This was over a $300 loss to me. Any suggestions on getting return labels for global shipping?
So one of the shortcomings, one of the places in the global shipping program that isn't perfect is the return process. So domestically, the buyer can print out a return label.
Yep.
That's not possible with a global shipping transaction, at least not today, maybe someday in the future. Think of all the different postal authorities. There's, you know, 50, 60 countries involved. Each one has their own postal service.
All the different costs. It would be quite complex.
It would be super complex.
Super complex.
These are the steps. When a global shipping buyer tells you, I want to return an item, the process is you ask them to open a return case. Don't refund them. Because eBay collected money from the buyer that you never saw for the extra shipping or VAT or whatever the fees were for that country, eBay has to facilitate the refund. What it sounds like happened to me with this seller is that they didn't know this. And the buyer didn't open a case, or the buyer opened a case and he didn't respond. And then that got escalated to a, and we could be wrong. That could, it may be that he actually did that. And if the seller whose name or user ID is danrob.fp6w5 wants to send us the details, you can do so at podcast@ebay.com. Mm-hmm. Happy to look into this and see if something did indeed go wrong. I can't promise you that we at the podcast can get you your money back. But in the future, and every seller should know this, you ask the international buyer to open a case, and then you wait, and eBay will take it from there. Don't call customer support. Don't be afraid of the fact that you're advising a buyer to open a case. It is the only existing pathway currently for resolution, and it will not reflect badly on you.
Returns happen.
They happen. Right? But this it's opening a case. They have to open a case with eBay. In this case, it's a return case.
Mm-hmm.
And then it will process from there.
Once the request or the case is open, it has to go to eBay.
Yeah.
What does the seller do? Like, hey, opening up a case. Let's wait.
You wait and see what happens with eBay. eBay may make a ruling. And in these cases, eBay getting involved in making a ruling won't necessarily impact you. However, if you have agreed to take a return, you'll have to work out with the buyer, depending on the case, who pays for the label. The buyer is going to have to purchase a label. There's no other way to do it. You as a seller can't purchase it. eBay can't purchase it. Is this a risk? Yeah, business is a risk. Mm-hmm. Is this a perfect process? Absolutely not.
No.
But most sellers, it works. If you are using GSP, Global Shipping Program, and you're getting a lot of returns, you might want to rethink using it.
Right, exactly. And that would be the same if you set up your own website and you're selling things internationally.
Exactly.
You'd need to offer a return policy and you'd need to figure this out, and it would be probably getting the buyer to purchase a label.
But don't just judge this on the one transaction, even though I don't want to make the assumption that $300 isn't chump change for this
one
seller.
Yeah, it's a lot of money.
What you have to keep in mind is the aggregate of your business. Do you have a lot of global shipping international transactions that have done well for you?
Mm-hmm.
Are you going to shut them off because of this one?
Exactly.
Now, in the future, perhaps after managed payments in place, there may be a time where we'll be able to, at least with some countries, the buyer will be able to print a return label through eBay and ship the item back. Currently, that's not possible. You're going to have to work out the details with the buyer.
Yeah. And some sellers like that, they'll build it into their business policy. And if it's a small, low-value item, they might just write it off and say, you know, that item's only $20, you hang on to it.
But Dan, Rob, email us if there's something we can do to help resolve this. If indeed you did lose the item and the
$300. $300's a lot.
Yeah, email us. We'll see what we can do for you. So I guess that's it for questions.
That's all the questions that I have in front of me.
We hopefully will have some next week.
Hopefully. Please send all your questions into us on the number, the email address, the ebay.com/podcast page. We are waiting.
And the number is 888-723-4630 to call us and leave a message there in your own voice, which we'll put on the air.
Nice.
And that's our show for this week. Drop in next week for episode 63, when we'll examine how social media channels can enhance your promotional strategy during the holidays and all year round.
Of course. And if you want to join the fun here on the eBay for Business podcast, you can be part of the show when you call us on 888-723-4630.
888-723-4630. And you can call that number at any time of the day, any day of the week, and leave your question or comment, and we just might put it on the air.
We have our very own email address where you can send your questions if you prefer. It's podcast@ebay.com. That is podcast@ebay.com.
Lonely?
Yeah.
You need friends?
Yeah, I do, actually.
Need social contact?
Yeah.
Well, then you should be attending a local eBay seller meetup, Alan.
I already do.
You should attend more.
More.
At eBay seller meetups, eBay sellers share selling tips, selling stories, learnings, insights, a little nosh, a little beverage, and otherwise schmooze with their eBay mishpoke. You can see upcoming meetups at our special eBay community page for meetups at www.ebay.com/meetups.
And don't forget to tune into our weekly live video stream on the eBay for Business Facebook page every Wednesday at 12:30 Pacific. Go to facebook.com/ebayforbusiness. And right after the live stream, hop on over to the eBay community for our weekly community chat. It starts every Wednesday at 1 o'clock Pacific. Go to ebay.com/community chat, and we will be waiting there.
And that's our show for this week. The eBay for Business podcast is brought to you by the head of community, Brian Burke.
Our special correspondent, Jen Deal.
Associate executive segment producer and cutting floor cutter, Doug Smith.
Marketing strategist, Liz Austin.
My esteemed co-host, Alan.
Hey. Editor-in-chief, Ann Griff. Griff.
The eBay for Business podcast is produced and distributed by Libsyn and Podcast 411.
So, mishpoke.
Yep.
Is that what you said?
Yeah, I did.
What does mishpoke mean?
Oy, it's a Yiddish word again. I'm going to be using a lot of Yiddish. I love Yiddish. I lived in New York and I learned a lot of Yiddish. So Yiddish. A mishpoke is...
Mishpoke.
It's a term for family, but it doesn't mean your immediate family. It means like your close friends and associates that aren't really your like blood relatives.
Right.
So there's your fellow eBay sellers, a.k.a. your eBay seller mishpoke.
Like your crew.
Your crew.
Your clan.
Your posse. Your
gang. Your eBay gang. Patrolling the streets with your eBay gang.
Your eBay M15.
Terrorizing neighborhoods.
Terrorizing buyers and big retailers.
That's it. Take them down. Those are eBay sales.